Wow.
Hello, guys. My name is Peter Elvidge. My belief is perseverance is your key to the impossible. I want to say thank you guys for being here today. I'm here with Tony Quest. Thank you so very, very much, Tony, for being here. We're doing episode 17 of Seeing Beneath the Surface. And we're talking about inclusion for those with disabilities into the classroom, whether it be mainstream, whether it be partial mainstream, all sorts of different things. How can we get persons with disabilities and special needs more so into classes and to be more included into mainstream type functions? So I want to say yet again, thank you, Tony, for being here. And how are you doing?
My pleasure. Yeah, this is a good topic. And then thank you so much for doing the show with me as well. It's a very interesting topic to me from a couple of points of view. And I can remember being in school as a kid, and we used to have a special class, basically call it the special class, and those were the children, the students that had special needs, but they didn't use the word needs when I grew up, and there was a little bit of a stigma attached to it if you were in that class. I wasn't in that class, but I remember there was a stigma that I experienced by actually playing with those. I didn't really see why not until one of my little mainstream friends said, why are you playing with those kids? Because they had special needs. Either they were learning disabled, and in some cases, there was a physical disability. And it really did make me feel that, I remember feeling that it was wrong not to play with them, and it was also wrong to play with them. So I was being labeled by playing with those kids. I have another fast forward, being an educator and teaching children, and being given a class or classes, and I did not know who had special needs very often. More often than not, I did not know that a child had special needs in my class, which I thought was interesting that they didn't tell me. They just said, teach it.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like, particularly for starting off kind of like younger wise, like, I mean, because I definitely can relate as a person with a disability, kind of in the younger years. You know, a lot of people were actually asked that question that were surrounded me who were friends, you know, like, why are you playing mm-hmm. with him because he has a disability or things like that. And yeah. Particularly, you know, a lot of the friends that I still have today are ones that were back then that were just like, you know, hey, he's a person, you know, and we're going to have fun, and we're, you know, and that's just how it's going to happen, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And kind of like progressing up, you know, through the years, kind of going to, you know, middle school, high school kind of era. So progressing from kind of like the previous, you know, being kind of younger and playing with kids, kind of growing, a lot of things changed. You know, there was a lot of difference of what persons with disabilities meant and kind of what you should do about, you know, those in the classroom who are either peers or maybe students. And one of the things that I definitely remember that was kind of changing in the midst of me progressing through my years is kind of that aspect, like you said, where, you know, where they did not tell you, you know, who had a disability and who didn't have a disability. And I can see why, but I can also see that as sometimes a disservice. The reason why they might do it is because, you know, obviously they're trying to have as baseline inclusion as possible so that everyone is treated the same. However, in that instance, I can definitely say as someone who has been going through both sides of this, is that when you are being included and being, I guess, so to speak, generalized as a normal student, you can actually fall through some of the cracks and some of the issues of doing like schoolwork and getting assistance and things like that. So it's an interesting one. It's difficult. But the thing is, I think that going forward, I think we still have a lot more work to do, but we are making a lot of progress as to understanding that, you know, persons with disabilities have the ability to, they have the ability to be mainstreamed. It's just a matter of giving the opportunity, learning how they learn and learning how to teach them. And it's all about, you know, universal learning, so to speak.
Yeah, I guess so. You know, it'd be nice if we could all get the same level of education. I think that what's important, though, you know, from a teacher's point of view, I do appreciate knowing, and I also appreciate not knowing who's disabled in the class. When I was teaching as a college professor, I was teaching psychology and sociology, and what I would do, and I was teaching undergrads, and I actually do this with my other students whenever I'm teaching. I do a learning style assessment, and it's like a very, like a subjective test, asking specific questions about certain things. And then you have like a scale, you know, where you check off, and then you can score the test. So each student, before I even start teaching this class, would take this test. My favorite was learning style assessment for college students. I think the person who authored it was Lynn, L-I-N-N. I can't remember every single thing about it off the top of my head, but it was a perfect test for me. And what would happen is I would get the score for each student, so I know what their learning style is and to what degree, based on the learning style. And then I would take the number and I'd average out the number for everybody in the class and get what that number is, and that's the number I would teach to. So I imagine if there was a learning disabled person in that classroom, that number is going to get integrated into the total number that I got. And it worked out well for me. And I think, more importantly, it worked out well for the student. But it's sort of a cold but effective way of dealing with the fact that you're going to have a diverse learning population in terms of their learning style. What do you think about that?
Yeah, most definitely, because the interesting thing is I had a question and I had a thought, so I'll start with my thought. My thought is, like, going in, kind of looking at this from a teacher standpoint, is having the ability to, you know, having the ability to teach, you know, students without disabilities, you know, you have a plan, you know, you try to make sure everyone's included, you know, that there's a good routine and things. And then, you know, you come along and, you know, you might have a student that has a disability, that wants to, you know, so to speak, step it up, or maybe they can, or maybe they have the means. It's just a matter of different learning style. And, in my personal opinion, a lot of, educational institutions, I don't think provide a lot of opportunities at times for educators to kind of like get into that position, so to speak, of learning about, you know, like, how can I like learn some new learning styles or things like that for persons with disabilities, instead of kind of like learning it cold, so to speak, you know, because I have a feeling that for any teacher, even though it's so completely different depending on each student, I mean, if you had a little bit of a background or at least had some knowledge of like what the disability is, or maybe some ideas or some different tactics, it would make things a lot easier, or at least a lot more straightforward for trying to make a plan. But I guess kind of like thinking in that instance, kind of like going back to your story, like when you first found out that you had a student with a disability in class, I picture it as not being like, you know, kind of like a horrified bad kind of thing. It was like a horrified kind of like, am I, you know, can I step up to this, so to speak, or, you know, because, you know, I need to learn about the student, I need to learn about the disability, or, you know, things like that. Like, I mean, kind of like, what did you feel in that particular moment?
Well, I think that for teaching anyone, it's my objective is to deliver the learning. And so I think that's my job. And I'll do anything I can to deliver the learning. That's not my specialty. But I do have a learning disabled adult student. And what I've learned from her is that just because someone has a learning disability, and her special need is not so much about her intellect as it is about her condition. And she has, it's an emotion, it's not an, it's a mental disorder, you know. The mental disorder is also physical. I don't want to get into all of her whole thing, but what I did learn is that it doesn't mean that she can't form an opinion about something. and she has points of view about things. And I find that particularly interesting, where a lot of times a person perhaps might think that because someone's learning disabled, they couldn't possibly have an opinion or a worldview, you know? And that would be a mistake, because they do have a worldview, a unique one. You know, so I've learned from her.
Yeah. And I can most definitely agree, because not only from being a student myself and being told numerous amounts of times that a lot of what I did as a student would not be possible, and I did it anyways. I remember back when I was first going into high school and I was learning about adaptive sports, and I found that there, you know, even though that I had blindness visual impairment, there were people, you know, there were friends of mine who just, they couldn't walk, they couldn't talk, they had all sorts of different disabilities, and here they are, they're going out, they're playing sports, they're doing education, they're even going to college.
Wow, that's great.
That's what I'm saying, is I believe that in small steps we are making good strides towards understanding that, but there's still more, I think, that needs to be done. There's actually one interesting thing that I would love to see at some point. I don't know if this will ever come about, but it would be something that I think would be ideal, is to have some sort of, because like, I remember health class, and we had different portions, you know, where we had different health subjects and learning about, you know, genders and things like that, but we never really touched on persons with disabilities that much. And I thought that wouldn't it be interesting to even have a part of a class, or even have a class specifically devoted to learning about disabilities? I wonder how that would work, because in some ways it would be good, because a lot of people would be educated, but in another way, it could, you know, as unfortunate as it is, it could stem a lot of bullying in those specific classes. You know, if, for instance, you have some people with disabilities that the other students are learning about. But also, I think in those classes, it can't just be primarily those without disabilities learning about disabilities. I think it has to be kind of a medium set where persons with disabilities are learning how to kind of do some mainstream type tasks. Because I think, unfortunately, like you said, is that, or can they do this? You know, it's just, is this one of those things, you know?
I think that one thing that's very significant group of people, whether there are students that are children or adults, is that it's really effective, especially, in my opinion, when there's a disabled or a person with a disability in your classroom, is to engage students in teaching each other. And I think that's probably somewhat controversial in some circles, because everybody's there to learn. And I found that just in my own life, but also in teaching people, is that when someone's having a problem, if you engage a student that's more able to help a student that's less able, both students learn something valuable. You know, that's one way to address it. And on the other hand, sometimes it might be better, maybe not forever for this particular student or any particular student, to be in a class that addresses their particular needs or lack of ability. Because this way they're going to get that little extra assistance to bring them up to speed so they can be integrated into the mainstream classroom.
Going off of that point, though, kind of thinking about like the idea of having classes specifically, you know, towards disabilities, towards like a specific type of disability. I mean, like you said, there are classes out there that, you know, that are available for persons with disabilities. That's the reason why, for viewers out there, this is why we're referencing what's considered as a normal class day for students without disabilities is mainstream, because there's classes that are, you know, they're called many different things. You know, I was a part of what was considered special education, here at, in Minnesota. So that I had these classes where, when I was starting out, I had 3 out of 4 of the classes in one area. So I would learn 3 subjects and then have 1 mainstream class. I was progressively, brought out where I had 2 classes of mainstream, 2 classes of non-mainstream. And then throughout the remainder of my junior and senior year, I only had one non-mainstream class and three mainstream classes. And the reason being is because the non-mainstream class was partially to assist me with my mainstream classes for accommodations and things like that, which I didn't need too often, but, you know, I mm-hmm. had the resources there if I needed. But also it was a time that, like, for me, I had learned orientation mobility with the white cane, assisted technology, all these different things. So it was also an open time for me to learn, I guess, in a way, so to speak, learning about my own disability in some aspects. You know, and kind of thinking about these classes, I mean, they're great. I mean, I definitely appreciate them because that's what got me, you know, the accommodations, the assistance that I needed. But at the same time, I think if you are too much in your bubble, so to speak, and you don't try to reach out, trying to kind of go towards a mainstream idea, I have a feeling at least in my opinion, that people are going to struggle more when it comes to those particular tasks of going out into the real world where you just kind of all mm-hmm. of a sudden hit with the mainstream, so to speak. And I feel bad when that happens, but I've seen it many, many times.
Did you find that when you did the special needs class, could you feel that it made a tangible impact on your learning?
Oh yeah, well yeah, it did in many ways. It helped me not only with assisting me in my subjects to kind of comprehend, you know, certain things might need extra explanation, but it also allowed me for having that little extra time if need be to comprehend and understand things, which helped greatly, particularly in my writing subjects. I'm not the best writer, but I do it anyways. But
it's important.
You know, it's interesting because although I promote these classes at the same time, I just want to let everybody know that you don't want to get too attached to one. You always want to be striving for a little bit better. You always want to try to be learning, you know, something new. Because, I mean, it's, in my opinion, you know, life is, it's there for you to explore. And what not better time than having the resources in school than, you know, all of a sudden not having the resources and kind of being thrust into an open world, you know, it's unfortunate, and I feel bad for certain instances that happens, but, you know, life is life, unfortunately.
Yeah, life is life. And the thing is if you're in the mainstream, I'm wondering, did you find that you were able to make, let's say, friends that were not disabled? Did you find that it was more enriching? I mean, which did you like in terms of your classmates, you know, the learners that you were experiencing all this with? Did you find that it was helpful to be in the mainstream more so than not? What do you think?
Yeah, so if I'm looking primarily at the friend aspect, kind of like communication, social interaction things, I mean, I had, you know, for my classes and for, like, my sports, I had those who would relate to me, who would understand, you know, the struggles of disabilities, you know. So you had a little bit more of a connection in that type of scenario. However, in, like, you know, mainstream courses, it was an interesting aspect because I had a lot of friends that were like, you know, how do you do this? You know, how do you do that? There's a lot of them that, you know, like I said, that I met both in my younger years and my older years where they're just like, you know, hey, I don't, you know, you can't see very well. What's the point of this? You know, why has everyone got such a problem with it? So, thinking about benefits wise, I mean, to look at specifically the disability, I would say kind of having your home or your, you know, availability to connect with others kind of like you or have some of the same struggles, that's definitely beneficial and definitely something I would encourage, even if it's not in school, to have that possibility of making friends while you're in school, if it's not even in a school setting with persons with disabilities. But it also, you know, I mean, you talk to other people with disabilities and you get inspired because then you start seeing what they're doing or they get inspired about what you're doing. And it can create a whole bunch of things. And you know, thus the idea of the education system of being able to learn from each other is ultimately what we should strive for.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. You know, I really think you're right about that. And it's the striving. I think that I don't want to get myself like pigeonholed into like a category, but I do feel that diversity in the classroom and of all types is important. I think that it's really important to be around people with different disabilities and I want to say different levels of ability. I like that term better. I hate saying disability. Different levels of ability. I think also as an educator, I think that part of my responsibility is to learn from my students as well, so I could teach them better, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of teachers, I don't know every teacher, but I know there are some teachers that don't look at it that way. You get into situations where you're in a school, okay, and the teachers, your colleagues, are more interested in their tenure or they're more interested in their pension plan and they just want to get through the semester. And they don't particularly, I think maybe because I, it depends on your level of teaching. I mean, I was teaching as an adjunct and I think a fairly new teacher because I got my master's later in life. So I went in there as if I was like right out of the hopper, because I am. And so I was very enthusiastic about delivering the learning the way I was taught to deliver the learning. And also I was taught that your job is to deliver it any way you can. I was also taught before I became a teacher is that communication is always a good thing in any form. And if you can find different ways to communicate, all the better, because it's just better for the good of the whole. So in terms of, I've never taught, well, I shouldn't say that's not true. I have taught a blind student, but I didn't even know that the student was blind. You know, I was kind of like, why aren't you looking at me? You know, because I can't see you. You know, these things happen, but very often you get put in a situation where you really don't know who you're teaching right away. But when someone's sitting there, they're participating, and it seems like everything's just normal, and then you find out after the fact that they can't see. You know, you find out somewhere later in the semester. You know, I'm just guessing it myself. That's why that's why I like this topic, because as a teacher, you don't always know. You know what it's like if you go to work, if you work in a regular job, you know, and you're having a horrible time at home, you know, or you're going through a terrible, traumatic experience in your marriage or with your kids or whatever. And they always say, don't bring your problems to work. Well, it's interesting that when you're teaching a class, you know, your students are bringing their problems with them as well. You don't know what people are going through. There's no way to know unless, I mean, if you're delivering the learning, most of the time you'll never know. You know,
and you made me think of another interesting point, because, like, one of the major reasons that also at times educators aren't informed about, you know, whether a student has a different ability or has different levels of learning and understanding is it might unfortunately be a part of either the parents or of the personal preference of the student. And the reason being is that this could be relating to, like, you know, obvious things like past bullying. You know, they're afraid to tell people about themselves because of, you know, afraid of the attack or anything like that. It could be also a matter of, you know, I have a disability, you know, I feel somewhat inferior. There's all sorts of different things that can go through so many different people's minds. And it's difficult because you want to give students with different levels of learning the ability to, you know, feel like they can be free or that they feel like they can you know, express themselves when they want to express themselves. But at the same time, if you don't present if you don't really present the opportunity for people to kind of learn about you or for you to basically take this weight off your chest that you have to, you know, hide who you are, you know, it's going to be difficult. And it's believe me, when I say it's because I've gone through this type of scenario where you just, it's a very heavy weight on yourself. And I really, hope that a lot of people out there, if you happen to be feeling in this particular way, it's a lot better to show who you are and just say, you know what, this is me, take me as I am, than it is to, you know, hide yourself or not tell anybody about your disability. It's just not worth it. It's just stress that you don't need on top of, you know, what you're dealing with in your daily life.
That's true. I can relate to that to an extent. But on the other hand, it's like, I mean, you might be able to relate to this, is you don't want to be identified by your disability. You know, like I don't often tell people about my diagnosis with MS. You know, I tend to not want anybody to know. And when they find out, they're usually pretty surprised, only because I just feel that I want to be like everybody else, you know, even as a full-grown adult. You know, I don't want to be like that person that doesn't work well, that doesn't walk well. I don't want to be that person. I want to be like everybody else. You know, so it's just interesting. You don't want to be put in this position where, you know, she has MS, so that's why. That's why. That's by one. That's why she acts like that, you know? Mm. And I kind of like them not knowing.
Yeah, and you know, it's really, you know, because a lot of that is dependent upon, like, a person's conditioning, you know, like what they've experienced in their lives and all sorts of different things. But to be honest, the way that, even the way that our education system is now in a lot of different classes, it is underliningly told that to be different or to not be, you know, normal, so to speak, is either wrong or it's something that needs to be fixed. And because of these ideals and mentalities and mindsets, you know, that's kind of where the idea stems from. Because, I mean, like, when I was in school, I was told consistently by my teachers that, you know, don't tell people that you have a disability. Don't tell anybody that you are blind, so you'll get bullied less. And I'm sitting there the whole time, and I'm just like, why? But I was like, well, why? But at the same time, I understood why. And, you know, as I got into high school and higher, I'm just like, you know what? I don't care.
Well, yeah, it's not like you should be ashamed of it. There's certainly, it's not that you should be ashamed of it by any means. But the thing is now they have laws where they're not allowed to tell, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of like you can say it, but the teachers, the professionals, the healthcare professionals, the educational institution, the people at your job are not supposed to discuss anything about your health. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's against the law. And I think it's to protect people because in mainstream society, if people know about your disability, very often you won't get hired. I just had a discussion with somebody about it was more about ethnicity and discrimination. And I say that there are many ways. There's a lot of discrimination against people with disabilities. If someone finds out that you're blind, but you can do the job better than someone sighted, and very often that's the case, but they find out you're blind, and they might not hire you for that reason, you know? Eventually they're going to find out if you're walking around with a white cane and a dog, they're going to figure out there's something wrong, you know? You know, it's like obvious, but if it's not, you know, it's your right to, if you can hide it, if you can keep it private, it's your right to keep it private.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's difficult. It's a difficult thing, definitely for everyone's scenarios. Because I mean, even if you don't have like a disability or any special needs or anything like that, I mean, there's other aspects of this to normal life. You know what I mean? Just being who you are, or dressing the way you like, or things like that. I mean, you know, it's one of those things that, unfortunately, we wish there was a guidebook as to figuring out how the best way to solve it, but we don't quite yet. But I would just recommend that, if you can, if you feel like you can be open, with people and let them know about, you know, either yourself or anything like that, I think it's better that way, because then people can learn about you, and then that leaves that open for them to tell you something about themselves, so you can learn about them. And
it's just a
number of different things, and particularly looking at education, that's right there, the whole idea, let's learn together. So
exactly. Well, you know, something, education is real important to me, and the thing is, I'm thinking that if I went into a job interview and told everybody I had MS, the first thing the employer is going to think is, oh, how many days is she going to take off? How often is she going to fall in sick? You know, that kind of thing. Because there are times when for anybody, that you just don't feel up to it, you know? And, you know, it's you don't want to make a broadcast about it, because the first thing in the employer's mind is that you're going to take a lot of time off. You're going to take a lot of sick leave. You're not going to be able to do the job full throttle. You won't be able to do that because you've got a weakness. And I think that's why they decided to institute those HIPAA laws as well. With a blind person, I mean, only you could really speak to that, but I mean, I imagine they might not believe that you can do the kind of work that you can do. I know what you're doing. I know that I can't do it, and I can see better than you.
That is actually a very valid point for a lot of employers, for a lot of people that go to, they need to see proof, or they need to, you know, they need to see an end product of something I've previously done. Otherwise, they're like, well, how can you do this? You know, I'm both slightly irritated by it, but I'm also prideful, because it could be like, you know what, here's a link, you go and take a look at that, you have a good time watching that video, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the eye put together for you to see.
Yep.
There you go. With my blind eye. Yes.
Yep.
For you, I did it. Yeah, so you never really know. I just think that it's such a huge topic, you know, my understanding is that employers get incentives for hiring disabled employees, but you know, which is probably a good thing for everybody. I'm not sure, but I imagine, you know, I'd have to think about it, you know, which I have to say, it's not one of my favorite subjects to think about. There are a lot of things you can think about, you know, but that's not one of the things I seek to think about, but it's something to ponder, you know, like what's the incentive for hiring a certain amount of disabled people. There used to be a time when you had to hire a certain amount of, and there still is, a certain amount of minority people, you know, depending upon the size of your business. But it's something definitely to look up if you have a disability of some sort, and to find out what companies are seeking to hire diversely.
Yeah, so what we could do is, why don't we plan that for doing a future episode, kind of like looking at workforce and opportunities, you know, not only for persons with disabilities, but without disabilities. I think that would be interesting.
It would be. Definitely be interesting. And maybe if you get some special needs teachers, you know, I'm a teacher, but I can't consider myself I don't consider myself a special needs teacher, although I've taught special needs groups. Gifted and talented is one, and that's when you find out after the fact that somebody has a disability you didn't know about, but they just happen to be brilliant, just happen to be, you know. And I have taught privately a special needs adult student. Happy birthday, Caitlin. You know, her birthday's this month. And she's, you know, got a very unique situation, and I've learned from her. I've learned that people with special needs, just because they have special needs, doesn't mean that they don't have an opinion or a viewpoint, a point of view about things. you know, mm-hmm. often the point of view that you might not have ever considered, you know?
Yep, most definitely. Alrighty. Well, I believe, yep, we're out of time, unfortunately, for this episode, but it was a great episode. I have a feeling, though, that we're going to probably be expanding this into another episode with some more thoughts. So mm-hmm. we'll probably definitely talk more about disabilities and education, opportunities and inclusion in future mm-hmm. episodes. So, So,
and this is just an expert. We've had some experts on this topic on our show, you know, Joseph Lento and the gentleman we had most recently, Charles, you know, Craig. Was it Craig?
Yep, Craig Dunn.
Craig Dunn, those two. You know, those are some of the experts that we have on the show that it's kind of like our little stable of experts. We have a stable. We do. And maybe we could have them come and talk to us about this from their points of view.
Most definitely. That would be an interesting, maybe do like a round table discussion. I think that'd be, an awesome episode to do. Maybe we could do that. Maybe, what we should do is, consider for our 20th episode is consider doing a live stream with a round table. If you guys are interested in that, maybe you should let us know on Twitter, Facebook, all those great different places where these links are definitely posted. Just let us know your thoughts if you'd like to kind of have a live show where you could actively listen in and ask questions. That would be awesome.
That would be great. It'd be sensational.
It'd be
the most sensational show. Yes, I think it would be a good thing. I think that our audience would love to hear more about it. I believe, you know, I think so.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, did you have anything to add? Social media, where we can find you, all the great fun stuff?
I'm on the internet. I'm on LinkedIn, linkedin.com. I need to look up Toni Quest, TONIQUEST. On Twitter, I'm at TQTalker. And on Facebook, just, you know, Facebook, Toni Quest. But I spend a lot of time on LinkedIn. I tend to write articles on LinkedIn. And maybe you want to check them out and read some of them. And I'm always very, very grateful for feedback on my articles I write on LinkedIn. And my book's available on Amazon.com. It's called Actualize, A Life in Progress. And on Amazon.com, available in Kindle and paperback. And I thank you so much, Pete. This was a good show. Thank you.
Yes, no problem. It's been awesome. Like I said, we're going to definitely have this come out with future episodes. We're definitely going to be talking on this more. And like I said, keep us posted, guys. If you're interested in doing that live show for our 20th show, that would be great. I'm also going to be putting a poll and things out there for you guys if you have missed this episode and you happen to view it later than it was posted, so you guys can make a response via a Facebook post or a Twitter post. So just as a end cap, you guys can find the show, you can find this show and other great episodes, and including future episodes, which we definitely recommend you to follow up and to continue listening to future episodes. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Facebook, YouTube, soon to be iHeartRadio, Stitcher, all those great different places. There's tons and tons of new syndicated networks that we are connected to. So it's been awesome. This was episode 17 of Seeing Beneath the Surface. That's awesome to know. And, thank you, guys, and thank you, Toni, and have a great night.
My pleasure. Good night.